Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's really made that leadership change. I feel like he's speaking a lot more, talking up, using his voice more, and we all appreciate it. It was fun to watch him in camp and see what he's done so far. And the best thing about him is he always wants to get better. He's never satisfied. So I think that's going to take him a long way.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Snark alert. Apparently, Christian Gonzalez can make appearances on Good Morning Football, even though he doesn't make appearances on the practice or game field for your Patriots. But
get some context to it. He was there promoting Latin American heritage or something like that effect. So give the kid a break on that one.
I wish he was on the field promoting victory for the Patriots in their defense and
wow,
not giving up, I don't know, 800 yards through the air over the first two games and all of those things. Anyway, he had very nice things to say about his quarterback, Drake May. Sorry, my headphones got disheveled there. And his quarterback, Drake May, the leadership, the growth. Yes, Dan Ball.
Can I just clarify that it's Latino Heritage Month is what he was
thank
promoting.
Thank you. Gosh, I was messing it up.
No, I know, but there were a couple different versions floating around. I just figured we'd put it out there.
I threw out a lot of the wrong versions, yes.
Well, if you throw out a lot, you're due to be right at some point.
Well, eventually.
You're a volume scorer in terms of that. Drake May, making leaps and bounds, we hope, in terms of leadership and everything else, and that's great behind the scenes. It's great, Ted Johnson, that Christian Gonzalez says that, probably believes that, sees it. Locker room, practice field. You know what's even better? When the whole world sees it on a game field. The whole world saw Sunday a franchise quarterback. For one day. I don't know if it's sustainable. We can get into the it and premature its and J.J. McCarthy, who was the greatest thing since sliced bread for his fourth quarter a week ago. Now he stinks and he's hurt. Now he's like the worst combo. But Drake May looked like a franchise quarterback in Miami. You highlighted the throw to Ramondre Stevenson, which the aspect that I liked about that, after bitching about him overthinking and not looking comfortable, in the midst of sliding up in the pocket to avoid the rush, he just immediately flicked it. Like, there wasn't time to, are we sure the play is there? Yeah. Is this what Josh wants me to do? What if I don't do it exactly? He just played ball.
And another thing, too, there's edge pressure from both sides on that. And I think it was Jalen Phillips on the outside got a paw on his.
He did.
And he was able to secure the ball. He didn't drop the ball. It wasn't a fumble. It was, he shook him off, reset, and then threw the ball.
It was like one of those drills, Fitzy, we see them do in camp, where they're working on footwork and sliding in the pocket and two hands on the ball. Stay square, feet are under ready to throw.
He had
all of
both hands on the ball.
Yeah,
it was
both hands on the ball.
You're right.
Perfect.
You're right.
And therefore, we are now having a little bit of victory lap Tuesday about Drake May. So, Fitzy, now that you mentioned it earlier, sometimes we react, especially us. You and I have a unique role. Boom, game ends at 4:01. We're on the radio. We're just talking about what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't, how we feel. Then the next day, we do a full show on it. But now that you've had a couple days to sleep on it, where are you in terms of what we saw from Drake May? Was it just because it's in the South, there's humidity, and he's a warm-weather quarterback? Or did we see a step in the evolution of the franchise?
Yeah, the hell with that training center they're building next to Gillette. Like we talked about, they need a roof and a humidor to make it more Drake May suitable, because even he admitted he likes playing in the warm weather in conditions like Miami had out there. That said, overreaction Monday begets recalibration Tuesday. I am not recalibrating off of my excitement from Sunday, which rode straight into Monday and into Tuesday. I think we saw a significant step forward for Drake May. It doesn't mean that he's going to throw for fantasy-leading top 10 QB stats every week, but he took a big boy step in the right direction on Sunday. And luckily for him, even though it feels like it's going to be a good old-fashioned Pat Steelers, hard nose, hit him where you can't get him, throw down on Sunday, Steelers are giving up 400 yards a game so far. So believe it or not, this may be actually a good opponent for Drake May to take on Sunday. But I still feel great. I saw him do things on Sunday I've been dying to see him do since you guys went gaga over him in April 2024.
So, Ted Johnson, I know we don't always love lists and numbers and stats here, but Dan Ball threw this in the rundown. Highest passer rating through the first two games of the season in a quarterback's second year when they are less than 23 years old. You want to hear the list?
Sure.
Lamar Jackson, he's pretty good, right?
He's pretty good.
Patrick Mahomes, pretty good, right?
Really good.
Dan Marino, I know you think he's overrated, but he had a pretty good career.
Dan was a hell of a quarterback.
Jalen Hurts, CJ Stroud, and number six on the list, Drake May. That's pretty good company, right?
I like that, yeah.
You're either in the Hall of Fame already, you're headed toward the Hall of Fame, or you're at least a guy who turned a franchise around in Houston. Yes, mm-hmm. Dan Ball.
I did have to get pretty specific with that stat to get Drake that high up the list, but he's up there.
Don't poo-poo your own stat. I was giving you credit for a fun list of good quarterbacks.
I got more stats real quick. Can I just go run through them?
Sure.
Courtesy of Evan Lazar. This was Drake May's highest single game QBR game. This was his highest single game total EPA. This was his highest game total EPA per play, highest single game CPOE, no clue, and then highest single game PFF grade. So whatever you think of that. So a lot of
CPOE?
CPOE.
Okay, good.
No clue what that means.
That's
but it was good.
You have breathing issues?
Maybe so. I don't know exactly what that means, but the point is this was his best game of his young career. And so for all the people that have been kind of telling you that he's got special traits, it was the first time where he put it all together, and he averaged more than one turnover a game in last season. He was averaging one a game mm-hmm. to start this season after the week one interception, and this was the first game where it was a clean game.
And where did it happen?
In Miami.
Miami, where even Tom Brady had, like, head-scratchingly bad plays, games, throws, turnovers. And I know some of it was Jason Taylor and different guys on the defensive side of the ball, but weird stuff happens for the negative in Miami. And instead, there were a lot of things that were negative for the Patriots in this game. I don't think there was you watched it multiple times. You did your whole breakdown. How many plays were not perfect for Drake May or were bad plays? Like, I can't even think of any that I really didn't like. I thought he did everything really well.
Yeah. And Ted, to back up what you were saying as well, via Next Gen Stats, the shotgun rate was cut in half.
There you go.
And also, how about this? Ready for this? The motion rate in week one, this is how stagnant the offense was in week one, 18%. Yeah. Week two in Miami, 70%.
It just
way more play. They moved the ball. They moved the players. It was so much more exciting to watch.
I know Drake played shotgun most of his career last year, but there's a predictability piece to the running game when you're in shotgun. There's only so much you can do. And if you're not going to run the quarterback every now and then in those RPOs, then it's like, then it's kind of meaningless. The best way to get your running game going is under center, in my opinion. And he looks brilliant under center. Like, what's the problem with him under center?
I don't see a problem with it. But do you think this was a game Drake May evolved, played well, whatever, or did Josh do a good job putting Drake May in position to utilize his – did he match the scheme and the game plan to the quarterback?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I think.
And this is where this is going to be interesting because coordinators have egos big time. I thought you could see the ego in the defensive coordinator's game plan for the defense in week one and for the offense coordinator in week one. And you know what? I just worry that Josh has his way of doing it. This is my system. It worked with Tom Brady. Bro, you got a guy that is so different than Tom Brady that he should be doing different things, and he's got to open his mind to doing different things. And I hope that this was a kind of preview of more to come because that did not look like a Josh McDaniels game plan, typical one. This was different, but it looked so much better.
And we've been having a debate, Fitzy, about this whole scheme versus talent, you know, going back to Jabril Peppers and the defensive side of the ball. And this felt like the scheme was, or the game plan, was adjusted to meet the talent of Drake May. And Ted mentioned it, Fitzy, right from the get-go, sort of the boots, cutting the field in half, some of those things you do with young quarterbacks, making it. And he's good at it. He rolls out. I think he might throw still better on the run than he does in the pocket.
Because he's not thinking.
Agreed. Right. He just plays.
He just plays.
So, Fitzy, do you think this was a first step, not so much of Drake May and his development, but maybe the relationship and Josh McDaniels developing as the coordinator for Drake May?
Josh McDaniels developing as the coordinator for Drake May, and also what this Josh McDaniels 3.0 offense will look like. And I'm going to harken back to something you said in the spring as this coaching staff was coming together. I remember when you said something along the lines of, oh, Todd Downing, Thomas Brown, Josh McDaniels. Could there be too many Doug Marone?
Yep.
Could there be too many offensive minds in the room? Are they all going to be able to get on the same page? Or will Josh McDaniels' head/playbook be full of too many different ideas and opinions? That's could be the case. Too many cooks could spoil the broth. Too many directors could ruin the movie. But if they're going to work like that, if they're going to be in lockstep towards the greater good, team over scheme, if you will, Andy, then that can be a very good thing. That's a great point on the Thomas Brown stuff, Ted.
And not just the team over scheme, but just the quarterback. The quarterback is the offense, right? Like, I don't mean to be disrespectful to the other 11 and all these guys and team sports, and it's the greatest team sport. You're going to go where your quarterback can take me. So if Todd Downing, Thomas Brown, all of those guys, Josh McDaniels, if they just reverse engineer it, I know that's a bad word around here because I think that's what Matt Patricia used to say about offense.
Yes.
But if they just...
If you reverse aerospace engineering?
Yes. Yeah. But let's do football reverse engineering. How do we make Drake May the best version of Drake May and then build our scheme sort of and game plans backwards from that? That's what this game felt like to me.
And it wasn't, you know, a lot of times what you'll hear is there's teams that try to do it one way with a young quarterback and then they go, you know what? Let's introduce a lot of the concepts that made him great in college, and that's why we drafted him. He wasn't under center in college, so it's new, but being under center, but the plays out of being under center highlight his skill set, which is the most important. Highlight his skill set, and don't limit him in your play calling. Enhance his play calling by giving him more athletic plays to run,
because his skill set is the one thing everybody loved. Everybody, and I'm talking about literally everybody, guys who wanted to coach him, guys that wanted to draft him, trade for him, media guys, the Orlovskys of the world, all these QB analysts, Fitzy, Hart, Ted, that's all we could see, right, is pure skills. We're like, those are pretty good. He does a lot of things that should be good at quarterback.
Yeah, but just inconsistent with it and a little clunky at times. But there was, when the play went off script, you'd go, oh, did you see him?
Right.
That throw he did when he left the pocket, it's like, yeah, but he's not very good in the pocket. Like so
don't keep him in the pocket all the time. Don't, you know, round peg, square hole kind of thing. Right, Fitzy?
The question then becomes, can the script be dictated so that it's kind of like, can you make off script the script? Keeping him moving.
Sure,
moving.
You can. Yeah. Rollouts, boots.
Yes.
And then eventually.
But you have to change the core principles of Josh McDaniels' offense have to change. Is he... To me, that's the biggest question. Will Josh bend to the quarterback?
Yes.
Okay. We'll see.
We saw.
We saw for one game?
Yeah.
Yeah, one game.
One is enough.
Kind of had to with Cam Newton.
No, it's not. It's one
game. You're right, it's not. I was just kidding because the 781 wants us to remember, quote, they played the effing Dolphins. That's part of it, right? But they took advantage of the opportunity.
You know what? They did play the Dolphins. But you know what they did? They showed resiliency. Drake May, after he got you had a host at EEI Afternoons ask him if winning is important to him, right? Was it you that asked him that? Winning was important to him?
Yep.
Something like that. Like a week ago, sure you me. Asked him.
That sounds like our show.
That sounds like me.
Okay. I don't know. So, you know, somebody at the station. and it was like 1 week ago, you're asking, literally questioning whether or not if football is even important to him. And this week, it's like, holy crap. It's like people are seeing everything that, you know, the people like us have seen all along.
All right, you want me to veer into the negative? Because if I really veer into the negative based on things Drake May said over the last, I don't know, 5 days, when he got excited to play in Miami because it's, quote, getting cold already in Foxborough, and then he told me it felt good throwing the football. Southern guy, I've always liked throwing in the humidity.
Yeah, yeah.
Should that concern me? You tell me. Should that concern me? That the quarterback that plays in the Northeast in the cold in New England,
let me ask you this,
likes Miami better.
What was I harping on about the new rookie left tackle? What I always was like questioning
arm length and hand size.
Okay, so I was arm length, not his hand size, arm length. But when it comes to quarterbacks, I question hand size.
Yeah.
If you have small hands, I worry about you being a good quarterback in the cold. Yeah. So,
Kenny
yes.
Pickett.
So put a glove on like Kenny Pickett does.
Okay.
He actually had his hands stretched and he still sucks.
Yeah, but put a glove on.
I don't know. He had his hands stretched.
He actually went through like a hand, like he went through a procedure in the offseason 2 years ago to literally try and stretch his hands out.
Yeah.
That's a real story.
It's like when I hang upside down.
Dude, there's other things we can get stretched out on.
Oh,
our
yeah.
Bodies.
You can stretch anything.
Anything, huh? Wow.
Yeah, you got enough money and enough willingness to invest. You can stretch anything, Ted.
That's news to me.
Anything.
Get your hands stretched out.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
It didn't work.
And he still stinks.
He still stinks. But that was a little snarky, but I do worry that the North Carolina kid who played at North Carolina and then after the game is like, yeah, I kind of like this humidity and the way the ball feels down here. Well, guess what? Bad news for you. It's not going to feel that way most of your season. Because not only do you play in New England, you play at the Jets, at the Bills.
You know what he needs to do?
Get a good glove.
Get a good deflator. That's what he needs to do. He needs to get someone on this staff. Who's the new deflator? That's who it's got to be.
I didn't see that one coming.
Where's Dorito Dink?
Where's Dorito Dink when you need him, man? We need to take some air out of those balls in the wintertime because it'll be easier for him to grab onto that thing.
617-779-7937. Maybe one of these phone callers is a good deflator. Let's go to Justin in Washington. What's up, Justin?
Hey, gentlemen. I just think the Drake May game was so importantly huge, regardless of all the other circumstances, because he did something I didn't think he could do, which was do exactly what the coaches want. Be a check down merchant. Don't throw the ball into harm's way. Use your legs when you need to, when it's existential. So I know he didn't have the big glitzy stats. He wasn't throwing the ball to his receivers, and there's all these other concerns. But my question for you guys today is it almost better that he was kind of a check down merchant who didn't need to be Brett Favre and led his team to victory than if he just did all of his bad habits, connected on all these plays, and threw for 500 yards?
Thanks for the call, Justin.
There's a balance there.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot, you know, it really wasn't check downs. A lot of the short passes were designed passes right. that came out quick to running backs. But he also had, it wasn't a check down. That pass to Booty was not a check down.
First, I thought it was an overthrow to, I think it might have been Pop or whoever.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, no, it's actually a perfect throw.
Yeah, it's right. So that was a gorgeous throw. And then was that a check down to Mac Hollins?
No.
And was that a check down to Ramondre Stevenson?
No.
So those were beautiful passes that were not checked. So every now and then, yes, the check down's perfect. But he also had some brilliant passes down the field as well.
And I didn't ever feel he put the ball in harm's way. I mean, I guess maybe the Booty one, because it was such a tight window, inherently it's sort of in harm's way, but he put it where he wanted to, and he put it to a guy that I think he trusts to go get the ball. I think that relationship, even though it only paid off for one catch in this game, that relationship between Booty and Drake May is a legitimate thing. But no, I do think you didn't need him to be a gunslinger in this game. You needed him to be, I don't know if game manager is the word.
Souped-up game manager.
Yeah, an athletic game manager. Because mm-hmm. yeah. I also liked when he ran for the touchdown, Fitzy, and looked back at Matthew Judon like, you can't catch me. You didn't like that?
I loved it.
He ended the career of Matthew Judon in my eyes.
I love that he outruns. These guys take bad angles on him. They think they got the angle on him, and he outruns them. And you know what the looking back is? It's a little like
it's like the step over in the NBA.
A little bit.
It's a little.
You drag it on your face.
I think, boys, he's faster than people think he is.
He
I
is.
Bet they hear like, hey, watch out for that Drake. He's got long strides. He's quick, but he's legitimately quicker than they anticipate on tape.
You know what he runs? He kind of has this. It's not the same gait as like a Terry Glenn, but Terry Glenn is fast without looking. He looks like he's not trying hard.
Right.
Like Drake runs fast without any real effort being kind of thrown out there.
Let's go to the phone lines. Frank in New Hampshire. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. A few things. Ted, I think this started with what you said about being in the shotgun and limiting running. Do you think the play calling is going to be influenced to hit a lower ceiling for Drake May? And do you mix into that anything from Mac Jones' success this past weekend?
Thanks for the call, Frank. I'll leave Ted to answer that one.
Well, I have no idea what Frank was asking me.
That's why I left it to you.
I was hoping you could help me out. Is that? I thought
sure,
I maybe
Frank.
Misheard some. Frank,
I
like
know
Frank.
What that means, but whatever.
So let's go to the last part. Forget the first part.
Yeah, and I don't even know if I understood the last part.
Well, Mac Jones played. Mac Uh-oh. Jones threw three touchdowns. Mac Jones is where he was always supposed to be with Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. Yeah. He thought they were trading up for him. Blah, blah, blah. Yes, Diz.
Well, it's like you know, I was telling you yesterday, I was seeing a lot of people saying, see, it was Bill Belichick that destroyed Mac. Now that he's with someone like Shanahan, he's going to blossom and become the quarterback he was always meant to be.
There's no truth to that at all. Like a little bit, a little something maybe?
Yeah, one game,
we'll see.
Well, and also, Kyle Shanahan's reputation is built on the most quarterback-friendly scheme in the NFL.
And running back.
Yes, but like I remember the Super Bowl when he was running the Falcons offense and Jimmy Garoppolo was the backup scout team quarterback and was like, this system really is quarterback-friendly. And then where did Garoppolo end up? Yeah. With Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl running that offense. Mm-hmm. So there's some truth to that being a quarterback-friendly offense
no
and
doubt.
A place you would want to play if you're a quarterback. 617.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
779-7937. Continue to take your phone calls about Drake May and the Patriots' victory in Miami. But up next, it is Tuesday, 4:30. That means it's time to talk to Brian Hoyer, the true one and only expert on quarterback play in the Josh McDaniels system. We'll get his thoughts on Drake May's breakout performance. That's next here on WEEI. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.